Hello everyone, and welcome to the Child of a Library podcast, where we discover the words on our shelves and in our hearts. The Child of a Library podcast is on the go again. I am here with my little Lavalier microphone, and actually, I am currently on holiday in Tuscany in beautiful Italy, and honestly, I could not be happier. The sun is shining. It's 31 degrees Celsius, which is 88 degrees Fahrenheit. And yesterday we even surpassed that by far. I'm sitting on the grass by the pool. I'm living my best life. And this holiday was really long awaited and sorely needed, I can tell you. This rest was really, really needed. We're here in this little family-run hotel, and you can really feel how your soul calms down when you're here. You don't have a lot of cell reception. Actually, now that I think about it, I don't think I have any cell reception at all. They have good Wi-Fi, so if you want to contact someone, you can definitely do that. But yeah, it's just very relaxed. There's not much noise from anywhere. You are literally in the Tuscany countryside. You have your pool. Everyone is very friendly. Everyone is very quiet. So yeah, it's the perfect balm for the soul to calm down. Actually, this is not the first stop of our holiday. We already were at Lake Garda for a couple of days. And actually, usually when we are on holiday, it's my husband and me. But this time, we are also traveling with author Mark Tullius, who you also know from my podcast, and his family, which we are very excited about, actually, because this is the first time that Micha and I travel with someone other than just ourselves. And it was a lot of fun so far, and I'm definitely sure that if we make our way to Venice very, very soon, we are leaving tomorrow, this will again be a great stop of our travel, because Venice is just so beautiful and we enjoyed so much to show Mark and his family all of the different little things that we had already discovered in Italy, the places that we love, the restaurants that we really like. So that was really, really nice to be a travel guide for once. Now to transition back to the podcast topic of the day. Now that we have fully transitioned into the summer, I thought it would be perfect to do a spring reading recap. I think it's a great opportunity. But before we jump into that, into the spring reading recap, I have an honorable mention, because I forgot a book in my winter reading recap, and I don't know how this could happen, because it was like my favorite book of the season. It's really, really crazy. How could I forget? It probably shows how much needed this rest time was. So my honorable mention is The Wishing Game. I don't know if you have probably seen that in the book bubble that you're in on social media or on YouTube, or also in podcasts. It was actually pretty successful and a lot of people talked about it back in the day. And yeah, I just loved it. I went into it with zero expectations. I just knew that it was this story of a children's book author and also of an illustrator, and then another storyline with this young woman who just has one wish, and that is to make enough money in order to adopt this young boy who does not really have his parents around. And it's... Buongiorno. I just moved my spot a little bit. Because they started to clean around the pool area. It's very early in the morning, actually. It's shortly before 7. And I got up early because I wanted to record the podcast. And now I'm actually standing in the other part of the garden. There's still dew on the grass, which is really nice. It's very cool to the touch. And that's actually a nice respite from the heat of yesterday. And yeah, I don't know if you can hear the beautiful birds chirping. Give me a second, I will hold the mic a little closer. I don't know if the microphone caught that, but it's so beautiful and so peaceful. Ah, I could stay here the entire time, but we are leaving tomorrow. But oh well, back to the wishing game. So this was a book that I really wholeheartedly enjoyed. I just loved the way how the story was developing. I really got to love the characters. It was not an easy start, I can tell you that. At first I was not 100% a fan, but then when we also discovered more about the children's book author and his story and why things have developed the way they have, and also in the writing style, within the chapters that actually tell the story, you also have interim chapters that sort of take passages from his books that then drive the story or the context a little bit forward. And I thought this was a very nice mechanism to tell the story, and the ending was just so emotional, and overall I just really, really, really enjoyed it. So I have no idea how I could forget to mention it in my podcast. I just must have overlooked it in my notes, but oh yeah, this is definitely an honorable mention that I wanted to do before I now start into the spring reading recap. So actually, when I look at my spring reading stats, there definitely could have been more reading done. I have to admit that. But specifically April was very dominated by a podcast, which is the hashtag Ausgelesen podcast, which is basically, if you translate it, hashtag finished reading. And it's a German podcast with two girls in their mid-20s. And I just wanted to see what was going on in the German book bubble, because it can be kind of different from the American or the English one. So I just really wanted to know and get a little bit more into that. And actually, it was a nice break also sort of for my brain to listen to book content in German. And I don't know, the podcast just really grew on me. I really love they have been doing this for quite some time now. And you know, mama didn't raise a quitter. Usually when I find a new content creator that I like, I also look through a lot of their backlist. And it was the same with this podcast. I stumbled upon them on Instagram, I think. And then I went to listen to their first episode. And I can tell you as a podcaster, when people listen to your first episode, you're always like driven by anxiety. And you're like, no, please don't do it. Back in the day, I didn't know what I was doing. And for them, it was sort of the same. So along the way in the podcast, they often say, oh, please don't listen to the first episode. We had no idea. We did not have an intro. We did not really do outros. It was all very chaotic. And I totally get it. Back in the day, we all started like that. But yeah, it was just really nice to also see their growth over the years in their podcast episodes and how also their life developed, because they are at that stage where they just finished school. It was right when COVID hit, and now they are done with their studies. One of them is a published author, and yeah, it was just very, very cool to see something like that, to see a journey like that in the German book bubble. So yeah, in April, I did not read as much. I basically just read one book, which I'm going to talk about in a second, and the rest was just podcast listening. But hey, it's book content nonetheless, so I'm putting it on this list. But man, I could have read so much in that time, but I don't regret it, because I still very, very enjoyed that podcast. So the one book that I read in April was Kuss der Katrina from the Flowers and Bones duology. So this is a German book. It's translated The Kiss of the Katrina. And that is a book that I got at the Frankfurt Book Fair in 2023. Now at the Frankfurt Book Fair back then, I went a little crazy and bought a couple of books with really nice spine designs and very nice covers. Yes, I have to admit that. And the Flowers and Bones duology was
cover, but I have to admit it. It has this beautiful spine that if you put the two duology books together, they form the face of a Katrina, of a Mexican Katrina. You can definitely check it out on my Instagram. It's really, really beautiful. And honestly, I have always been fascinated by Mexico's Dia de los Muertos. And I don't know what it is, honestly. I'm not super deep into skulls or that aesthetic at all, but for some reason I think it's that combination of, you know, thinking of your ancestors, all of the bright colors, the celebrations that happen around it, and that in combination with the skulls, I don't know, I just find that combination intriguing, probably, and this is why I have been so interested in it. And this was the first time that I saw a book, especially a German book, where this lore was present. So I just thought, you know what, you know nothing about this, but that's fine, just try it out. And actually, I was pretty happy that I tried it out, because while you can argue it's probably not one of the like big bestsellers, but that is fine, because honestly, while all of the magical creatures that sort of came together in this book at first seemed a little like maybe random to me, or just like having a mix of all of the cool fantasy creatures that you could think of, the characters really grew on me. And it was just looking back that I realized how much they had actually grown on me. So by the time that I finished the second book, which is the one that I read here, I actually really wanted to continue with that series, because the way how this author writes is that she always writes duologies that follow one specific group of those fantasy creatures, but then in the end they all come together or show up in each other's stories. And yeah, I really want to see what is happening next. And I think this is also really a tell that the books are very enjoyable, at least for me. I'm pretty sure they are not for everyone, but at least for me, that one was really enjoyable and a very, very nice companion read, let's say, together with all the podcast content that I consumed. Now, heading over into May and also like the first little bit of June, another book that I read and really, really enjoyed was Emma of 83rd Street. This was such a fun read. I can't tell you. It's a retelling of Jane Austen's Emma, as the title suggests, and it's set in New York, specifically in Manhattan, and it was just so enjoyable. You could really see how Emma's growth that she also has in the original book was woven in so well with this new setting, with this modern time context. And while admittedly, I thought at first that it was a very cunning move to move Jane Austen to New York, so to a very different cultural environment, I just really, really enjoyed how the author did it. Especially when you know the original book so well. If you've seen so many adaptations, still this one, for some reason, because it was so different in a way, but also so similar to so much that happened in the original book, it was just super cool, honestly. It was really, really, really cool. And I can just, for everyone who loves Jane Austen, I can just truly recommend it. When I started, I had very high hopes. So I was listening to a very like Jane Austen specific podcast, which was Pod and Prejudice, and they talked about this book because it had just come out, and they said that they really, really enjoyed it. And I said, you know what? They are the experts. I trust them. Let's give it a try. And honestly, it was so great. So, if you listen to this podcast and if you are a Jane Austen fanatic, I can just recommend for you to check it out if you're open to something a little bit more edgy when it comes to her stories. Next on the list is Iron Flame, the sequel to Fourth Wing, which I read towards the tail end of last year, and that was an incredibly cool end of the year, basically. As I said back then, I know there might be things that you could criticize about the writing style. I know that the author has been criticized also for her second book, that she had to write it so quickly due to them wanting to release the second book after the enormous success of the first one, and that some people say, ah, the structure of the plot is the same, they hate each other at first, then they love each other so much, and then there's this big battle, and then there's this crazy cliffhanger ending that is so emotional. And yes, I can see that, but I don't see why that is a criticism, honestly. I really don't see it, because for me, at least, it was very enjoyable. I can understand when you say it was a bit long at times, and honestly, I could have done with one or two spicy scenes less. Yes, I definitely would have survived that if that would have not been in there. But overall, the story and also the overall setting and the characters, and I know that she has taken a lot of tropes from different fantasy books, and that she has taken plot lines or also inspiration from a couple of very famous fantasy series, but yeah, I think altogether Fourth Wing and Iron Flame, they are their own thing, and I just enjoyed them so much, and I'm very excited to carry on with the series. And while I'm of course patiently waiting for the third book to come out, I really hope that this time they let the author take her time, so that when she hands in the book, she's really, really happy with the story, and so that the pressure is taken off a bit. I think now these days, with social media, with the incredible success that you can have as an author from people talking about your book online, I can totally understand from a publishing point of view why you would like them to power out so many books one after another. But for an author, I personally can just say, I can wait, take your time, and produce the for you perfect book, and I'm sure that I will like it in that case. So yeah, just putting that out there. I really hope that that happens for her this time around. And then lastly, because in this podcast I'm not going to talk about like every book that I read a couple of smaller ones and also some manga, but this time around in this episode I will not focus on those ones, but I will directly jump into the last one that I want to talk about, which is The Last Tale of the Flower Bride. And honestly, this took me a while to get through. I started it, then I laid it away for like a week, and then I restarted it or got back into the story. I didn't restart to read everything. And honestly, I remember that I got this recommendation from a booktuber that I've been following for years and years. And she said, either you really click with this book and you just get it and it's like the best thing ever, or yeah. Maybe it's not for you and you like it, but yeah, you just don't click with it. And honestly, to this day, like even weeks after I finished it, I have no idea what side of the spectrum I fall on, which is kind of weird, I know, because I did enjoy it. It took me a while. Like, it was not that I said, wow, this is the best thing ever, definitely like most favorite book of all time. No, but I still very much enjoyed it. The ending was totally different from what I had expected. And I also did not expect it to be so surrealistic in a way. But still, I thought that it was a very different read for me. And I sometimes like that, to push my boundaries a little bit. And I think this experiment really, really worked, because I enjoyed it. I don't think that this, specifically this surrealistic genre, is like one of my absolute new favorites. But reading a book once in a while, yeah, I can do that. I like that. So definitely a good ending to the spring reading recap. And I'm very, very happy, because while I am out here in lovely Tuscany, I also did some brainstorming for some cool summer podcast episodes. And I have a couple of very, very intriguing summer reads coming up. So yeah, stay tuned for the next episodes. And now you could think, ah, the reading episode is over, we are going to transition into the outro. But no. There's still two more things that I wanted to mention. So specifically, something that I went through in spring was a technology dilemma, so to say. Specifically, color e-readers. I don't know if this is currently a big topic for you, honestly, because I think color e-readers have been around in the English-speaking realm for quite some time, specifically when you look at, for example, the Kobo line. So there definitely are some options out there. But in Germany, at least if you did not want to resort to an e-reader that is more like a tablet from its screen, there was not really an option, really. So with an e-ink, but then also color-ready display, there was not really something that we had. But now, in spring, one of the big companies putting out e-readers in Germany, which you can probably compare to, for example, Kobo and all of the other ones, they started to put out two of their most famous or most best-selling e-readers with color displays. And I thought that to be very interesting, but because I'm, sort of in the realm of the other brand when it comes to my e-reader, because I got my first e-reader back when my aunt was still alive, and back then we did not really have something else that we could resort to other than the ones from the big retailer. And yeah, I just sort of grew in that overall ecosystem, and now I have so many books on there that it seems hard for me to transition to another brand. And looking at the color displays with the e-ink display specifically, I thought, that's really cool. I would like to have that. But then I looked into transitioning to the other system, and I just said that probably I will wait until some other option comes around, because there are possibilities how you can do that, but I don't know how, safe they are in terms of copyrights and everything. So I would rather not resort to doing anything of that and rather stay within the ecosystem that I have, although I would like to change. But there are also possibilities to read EPUB formats now on those e-readers as well. So for example, I could go and buy an ebook from my small bookstore. If they have an online shop ready, I can buy the ebook, I can send it to my device, and then I can read it on there. So I think there definitely are some possibilities, and probably because especially when it comes to graphic novels or manga, my current device has a much wider selection than the other ones that we have in Germany. So yeah, I think with that I can do the best of both worlds. I on the one hand have the very big, especially English selection that I usually would not have with the other German devices that we have. And I can also, if there is an ebook that I can also find in the German stores, then I can transition it over and send it to my other device and read it on there. So once that color e-ink possibility comes around for my device, I will definitely go and check that out. But I can tell you there was a lot of research that went into that. I was sitting there for hours and contemplating, what could I do? Should I get one? Should I transition? What do I need? Is this really something that you can do? Is that lawful, etc.? So there was a lot of back and forth that I did. But in the end, I decided to not buy anything new right now and just wait. And then potentially at some point also, when the first little technical tidbits that can go wrong when you introduce a new technology, once those have been sorted, then I will jump on the bandwagon. If I have something that I want to read in color, like for example now, as you might have seen on my Instagram stories, I very recently, a couple of days ago, finished Ballad for Sophie. I'm pretty sure I will talk about this in my summer reading recap because I enjoyed it so much. And that is a full color graphic novel, and I just read that on my phone because there the colors look so beautiful. So there's always a way how you can read the format in the best way possible for you. But yeah, that dilemma really was stuck in my head for quite some time, and I wanted to share that with you because I'm interested. Are color e-ink e-readers something that you're looking into? Is this just not really relevant for you? Or did you maybe just through this podcast discover that something like that is out either in your country or even in Germany? So just let me know. I would love to know whether I'm the only one having that dilemma right now. And then the last piece of media that I want to shout out in this podcast is a game that I actually played on my own with my husband together, but mostly it was me who played it, and it was just such a cozy little game. It was so enjoyable, it was so cute, and the name was Little Kitty Big City. Honestly, the title alone, you know what you're going to get. It's just this cute little game with a tiny kitty, and the kitty accidentally falls off the windowsill that it was perched on and that it was sleeping on, and then it's falling down into the big city, and then it needs to find its way back. And it was just enjoyable 6 hours of our lives, and it's very low stakes. You can't die. You don't need to shoot at anything. You just need to do a bit of mischief and find your way around the city. You can lay in front of people and they start to scratch you and start to like you, or you can get in people's way and then they let their sandwiches fall down or their smartphones fall down, and then you need to snatch up the smartphone and give it to someone for a mission, and then you get your reward. And yeah, it was just very low stakes, but so cute. If you like cats and if you want a cozy game like that, I definitely recommend it. It's Marijke approved. And with that cute little kitty in your heart, I would like to close off this episode. That was all the media that I wanted to talk about in this podcast episode. So while my spring reading was not as multifaceted or not as big as it probably could have been, I still enjoyed it so much. I had such a great spring. I hope that you had fun listening to this episode. In case you heard like a well in the background or the birds chirping or some big bumblebee flying around me and the microphone caught that, I'm very happy, because I'm just so happy in this surrounding right now. It's so calming, and I hope that from this episode you can also feel that calming energy floating towards you. And until next time, I hope that we discover the words on our shelves and in our hearts. Bye! Thank you.